It's on. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Spiritus. Thank you, Zoe. It's the best day ever. 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 I'm so grateful to be here. So grateful to be blessed by your presence. So grateful for this ministry. So grateful for the opportunity that I have to come here and take the platform and do what I do and what I love to do. Because what I love to do is to remind my brothers and sisters that all the power in heaven and in earth is yours. And to remind us that if it appears that we're powerless, the answer is not to ask God for more power. We have been given all power. The answer is to figure out what we're using our power for. Is it lying dormant, or have we given it away? In most cases, with most people, we find that we give our power away and then we pretend that someone took it. No one can take our power from us, but we can give it to them and claim they took it. We can give it away to circumstances and conditions of a day and claim that the day and what happened during the day took away some of our power, which is why I have been really speaking everywhere I go and reminding people that I wake up every single day, and I've been doing this now for over a year now, wake up every day. The first words out of my mouth are, it's the best day ever. You see, because I used to wait to let the day inform me. It's like, what kind of a day is it? I don't know. I haven't found out yet. I haven't found out if the car is going to start, if I'm going to get to work on time, if I'm going to find a parking space, am I going to hail a cab and the cab is going to stop for me? Are the people that I'm nice to going to be nice to me? I'll have to wait for the day to tell me what it is. I might not want it to rain today. What if it starts raining? That could spoil my day. But what if I just wake up every single morning and say, it's the best day ever? Why? Because I said so. Because I have been given the authority as a child of God to declare what my world is. I can't control yours. I can't make it be the best day ever for you. But I do have authority and governorship and a presidential authority to decide what my day is. I can't control how the president presides over the nation. I cannot control how the governor of Massachusetts governs my state. But I can know that I am in charge of governing my mind. I am the governor of my own mind. And I am the president who presides over my experience of reality. This is the way it is. So where can I use my power? And where can I notice that I've given my power away and then invoice some innocent person, some innocent circumstance or condition outside me that I've invoiced them for my sense of powerlessness? Last week I was at Unity in Boston. It's in Brookline, Massachusetts, right outside of the part of the Commonwealth of Boston. But I was there, and one thing that I said, if I give you nothing more today than this, this is the only thing that I want to give you, and it's the information that you have the power to transform what upsets you into what excites you. Every single one of us has the power to transform what upsets us into what excites us. A lot of us spend a lot of time praying and affirming that what upsets us will stop upsetting us. What upsets us will go away. If a person upsets me, they will either change their behavior and get into a mode that will not be upsetting to me. If a situation is upsetting to me, I can either avoid it or pray that it changes. If I am upset by the political climate of the United States of America, I can pray that the right person gets in office and finally makes a quantum leap change in what's going on. I can pray for all of those things, but the spirit that is within me, the spirit that is within you, which is the spirit that we call holy, always informs us to change your world, you must change your mind. Wherever you go, there you are. It doesn't matter who gets in office. If you're a pitiful mess, and that's how you think of yourself, and that's how you live, it won't matter who's in office. You'll still be a pitiful mess. If you are an unpeaceful person and have no peace in your own heart, it would not matter if they laid down arms in Israel right now. It would not matter if they laid down arms all over the world where there is fighting. you would still be in a state of non-peace. Because if there is no peace in your mind, there can be no peace in your world. And so making the declaration, as Brother Britt reminded us, is that our power, our principal power, is in the power to declare what is, to speak the word, to speak the affirmations, to speak the power back into our lives. When I was a little kid, I get a lot of my stuff from my dad. My dad hasn't been on the planet for a lot of years now. I believe it was in 1988 that my father left the planet. But he was a preacher in a Baptist/Pentecostal church. My mom was a Pentecostal. He was a Baptist. When they got married, he decided he would just be both. And so I get a lot of my stories and a lot of my teachings from my daddy because he impressed me so deeply from the time I was coming up. And one time my dad told a story of a little flower that was growing in a field. And I've shared this with you all some years ago, so some of you may be aware of it. And you can stand hearing it again. For those of you who are hearing it for the first time, I hope you take it in, and I hope that it makes some difference in your life to a positive degree. He talked about this little flower that was growing in a field. This little flower was just so happy. Everything that it wanted or needed, it had. It wanted to be grounded in soil that was feeding it all of its nutrients, and it was growing in soil that fed it all its nutrients. It knew that it needed the sunshine because the sunshine was what allowed it to develop its petals and develop its leaves through the process of photosynthesis. It didn't know the word photosynthesis. It didn't even know what it meant. But it knew that what it needed, it had. So it had the sunshine. It had the earth and all of the earth's nutrients. And it also had the rain that came just at the right time. And the rain would nourish it and feed it. So everything it had, any desire to have, it already had. I like to think of that field as the God connection. As long as that little flower was planted there, that flower had all that it needed. Sometimes the wind would blow gently, and the little flower would feel it, like massaging its petals. It was the happiest flower ever. One day, a butterfly came along. The flower had never seen a butterfly. And with the visual of the butterfly, the flower began to think, I have never seen anything more beautiful in my life. And it wished that the butterfly would come closer to it so that it could get a better look. And sure enough, because wishing comes true for all of us, the butterfly came closer to the flower. And the flower was so happy to see such beauty, all the multicolors of whatever this was. And then the flower wished that maybe it could feel what it felt like to be touched by this whatever it was. And because wishes come true, the little butterfly stopped just fluttering around the flower and came and landed its little feet on those flower's petals. Oh my God, the flower could barely take it. The delight just shot all through it. That feeling was a feeling better than the wind, better than the sun, better than the rain. It was like those little feet of this whatever it was, beautiful thing, was massaging it and touching it in places that it had never been touched. I don't know if you've ever had a butterfly named a man or a woman in your life that has done that for you. What the flower began to do now was to go that I am more blissed out than I have ever been. That whatever it is has sent this whatever it is to bless me in such a way. And the flower had one desire, and the desire was, I hope this lasts forever. And I wish that this butterfly will stay with me for all time. Well, some wishes do not come true. Wishing for the same thing, no matter how beautiful and wonderful it is a wish that cannot come true. Wishing for something outside of you to bring you your reason for joy, your reason for getting your dance on, your reason for having a pep in your step, your reason for feeling your sense of power. Whenever we desire that something, an outside agent or an outside agency will bring that to us, and sometimes it looks like an outside person has done that. Some people are the first few months, every time they touch you, it's like getting shocked upon. Every time you look at them, your heart chakra opens.
and you go, oh my God, I'll be okay as long as they are here. God forbid that they should ever leave. The universe always gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want. And any of us who want an outside agent, an outside person, an outside group of people, an outside organization, an outside system or agency of any kind to bring us what we feel we need are not going to have that because it's not what we're supposed to have. We were flowers growing in a field with everything we needed until this one beautiful thing came along. So sure enough, after the butterfly did its business and got its pollen and pollinated the little flower, it did what butterflies do. It flitted away. It took off just like it had landed, and pretty soon it was moving across the field away from that flower. That flower did what we tend to do. It uprooted itself, and it started chasing across that field to get that flower. I cannot have something that has done me such good get away from me. I cannot let something go that brought me such delight, that touched me just right, that was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. And it's running and chasing the butterfly, and it's trying to call out for the butterfly. Whatever you are, please don't leave me. Whatever you are, please know I need you. You have touched me. You have awakened me to what life was missing without you. Come back. Come back. And it's running on its little roots. And as it runs, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. And its blossoms, its petals, they start to wilt. It's no longer connected to the earth. It's running out on its own. It has separated itself from its source, much like we do. Much like we do. And it's chasing off after something. Well, before long, its petals begin to wilt more and more and more. They dry up and begin to curl. Its little roots begin to wither and curl up on themselves. The next thing you know, the little flower is laying in the field, and the butterfly has disappeared, and the little flower is saying, I think I'm dying. And it lays, and it gives up its life. The deal is, when that little flower goes to heaven, when it goes to a place where it is told what went wrong and what went right, it gets this information with its last breath. I have as my only mistake the idea that anything outside of being grounded in the source can give me life, can give me joy, can give me happiness. My power lies in staying connected to the source of my life. How many butterflies has this man chased in my 64, almost 65 years? How many times has something pretty that smelled good, that touched me in just the right places, have I uprooted myself from my source, where I have forgotten that before this man, before this woman, before this thing came along, I was really happy. I was sustained. I had everything I needed. I never had to beg for the rain. It just came when it came. The sun did the same. I didn't have to beg for the nutrients to come up from the soil. They just came. And you would think after doing it one time, that would be enough. Maybe for some of you, but not me. Something else would come along, or someone else would come along. And I would go, okay, I know that happened last time, but this time it'll be different. Maybe I didn't pray hard enough for that whatever it is never to leave me. Maybe I didn't show it that I was grateful enough. Maybe I didn't run fast enough across the field to catch it before it got out of sight. You would think that I would have learned the first or second or at least the third time, but I might be the only person in this sanctuary who did it more times than I can count, who uprooted myself from the source of all my good to go chasing after whatever it is. I've seen a number of people in churches over the years who come and they find a spiritual community. They find Unity of New York. They're so blissed. It's transforming their mind, which is transforming their life. They're getting the information that God is my source and God is my all. They're getting the five principles, which tell how amazingly good God is and nothing but good. They're getting another principle that says that I am inherently good because what God is, I am made of. They're getting another principle that tells you how to pray, that says creative thinking heightens the connection with God mind and therefore brings forth anything my little heart desires. It brings forth all the minerals from the soil. It brings the rain. It brings the sun. It brings the breeze that blows me back and forth and allows me to get strong and to grow taller. Get these principles. Get this thing. They are working it, and you testify. They give testimonies now that I have found God through Unity, man. My whole life has changed. I am so happy. Every day is a good day, and it's the best day ever. And in the middle of the word ever, somebody walks down the aisle that catches my eye. Whoa. Who be that? And I've seen people give up their whole spiritual progress and process. And now they're not coming to Unity to get more unity. They're coming to Unity to see a Brits there because they got their eye on you. Hello. Am I talking loud enough? We uproot ourselves from the source of our power. This is what we do. Back to this idea that you have the power to transform what upsets you into what excites you. It's so powerful to know that you have that power, because generally human beings have something or someone or some condition in the world and in their life experience that is upsetting to them. And once again, the prayer is that the person will change, the situation would change, the whole climate would change so that I cannot be upset anymore. And so it's great to be informed that, hey, that's not your way out. That's not your way back to your power. The way back is to speak the word and then to live the word. The way back is to have a change in perception. There's a Chinese coin that has the same symbol on both sides of it. It's the exact same symbol. There are no little nuance changes. There's no little points. You know, if you've got a O in the alphabet and you put a tiny little mark there, it becomes a Q. Well, it's not like that. This symbol is the same duplicate thing, but that has the interpretation. So you have the symbol, and the interpretation underneath it on one side of the coin is danger. That's what that symbol means. It means danger. You flip that coin over, it's the same symbol, identical, but the interpretation to that same symbol is opportunity. The same hieroglyphic presentation can bring back two completely different responses. One is danger, and danger is upsetting. And one is opportunity, and opportunity is exciting. My mother was a whiz kid. She graduated high school before she turned 15, and she graduated college when she was 17, and then she went on and got her master's degree and her doctorate degree. And anyway, after she got her doctorate degree, before we moved to the East Coast to Amherst, where she became a dean at the School of Education at UMass, she had a job as the assistant to the superintendent of schools in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it's in the 60s. It's the time of rioting. It's the time of assassinations of very important people. It's like the world is going crazy. And my mom's job, right after getting her doctorate degree, is to, in the St. Paul, Minneapolis school system, to start working in behalf of ending racism, sexism, and homophobia. She also worked with the Navy Department ending racism, sexism, and homophobia. Well, in the St. Paul school system, my mother met a woman as soon as she got there whose name was Lillian, and Lillian became an adopted sister of her, which made her my Aunt Lillian. My mother and Aunt Lillian did these same work. They worked to eradicate sexism, racism, and homophobia in the school systems, and my mom also in the Navy Department, and all of them, just both of them, in the world at large, that this is my calling to end these things. I got to tell you that watching these two women, you would think that they were doing two totally different things. Everything that my Aunt Lillian did, we thought that she was going to stroke out practically every week. She was filled with so much rage and so much anger about white people and what white people do and what white people are doing now. She had such bitterness and ickiness. It was like bile rising in her chest like every other day about this, about sexism and racism and homophobia. Just enraged. You could see the veins popping out when she talked about it. On the other hand, my mother doing the same work was always every day going, "This is so exciting. Ooh, there is so much to do. We went to a meeting where the whole board of people were all white men, and they treated us like we wasn't nothing. Oh, my God, they talked down to us the whole time. There was so much work to do. Oh, my God. Oh, my God." They would send her to some town somewhere. They'd send her all over, and she'd go to some state that was notorious for racism and sexism, and she would come back with stories. "Guess what? I got off the plane and got called the N-word like four times by little kids. Little bitty kids came calling me the N-word. There's a lot of work to do there. I'm so excited. I got to put some programs together." They're doing the same work. My mom is excited and happy. I mean, let's face it, if you're a doctor, move to a town where there's a bunch of sick people. You got work. You can make some money. If you're a lawyer, find out where people need some lawyers work. Like, my mom was working to end something, and when she saw a bunch of it to end, she just was excited. My Aunt Lillian almost stroked out several times. She created dis-ease in her body and through her mind constantly. And it was like, wow, would you believe they're actually doing the same work with the same people, having an entirely different experience of it? I'll tell you why. Aunt Lillian interpreted that symbol as danger. The whole world is nothing but symbols. Everybody and everything you're looking at is a symbol. And it's asking you, what is your interpretation that you bring to this symbol? So Aunt Lillian brought danger. And if you see something as dangerous, it upsets you. On the other hand, my mama, Norma Jean, saw it all as opportunity. Opportunity excites you. It's just flip of the switch. It's not that my mom could have chosen to respond like Aunt Lillian. And Aunt Lillian could have chosen to respond like mom. But they both were just wed to where they were, wed to where they wanted to be. So if you are anyone, if there's any place in you that is anything like Aunt Lillian, if the veins come out on your neck about anything that you see on the news or read in the newspaper or encounter in the streets of New York or in your own home, at your kitchen table or in your bedroom, if anything is upsetting and you have been praying for that upsetting thing to cease to be, that upsetting thing to stop, a change to be made to that person or that group of people or that organization so that you can have the power of simply being excited like Norma Jean, so that you can live in a place of knowing, you know what, it's the best day ever. I say it, I declare it, and I ain't going to change my mind. I don't care what some little kids call me if I get off the plane at the airport. I ain't going to change my mind. My mom lived her life busy. She never stated the words, but when I reflect on her, she just treated every day as the best day ever. Just so excited. So as you think about what upsets you, perhaps something or someone that you have been praying would change so that you can be happy, so that you can have more peace, more joy, and more pep in your step, I want you to realize something. Number one, you have uprooted yourself from your groundedness in your source of all good. If you pull yourself out by the roots and start chasing anything, even a dream of a better world, you will be denied the beautiful realization that this is an awesome world. We must learn to take our power back, not ask for more power. Because once more, you have power enough to do all things. We never need to ask for more faith. You've got plenty of faith. You've got all the faith you can use, baby. This is the deal. Is it faith in a positive outcome, or is it faith in a negative outcome? It's the only two places you can. Faith is like a flashlight. It shines on whatever you point it on. So are you pointing your flashlight of faith at a negative outcome, and that's all you can see, or on a positive outcome, which becomes all you can see? That's the way you will flip yourself out of upset and into excitement. There is nothing that works except changing our minds. Changing our own mind, using the power that we already have. I'll close by reminding you of this. Check this out. Just like the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz, you have always had a brain. Sometimes you doubt that you have one. And many times you don't use the one you have. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. How often we waste it. So it's not that we don't have enough brain. We've always had one, whether we can see it, just like the Scarecrow. And your heart is big enough to enfold and encompass and embrace yourself, your others, and this whole world. You've always had a heart, just like the Tin Man. The deal is, will you open your heart? Will you live in your heart? Will you come from your heart? Will you give your heart to you before you start giving it to other people? Your heart needs you. You've always had one. And don't be asking the wizard for what you already have. Just like the lion, you've always had courage. But yet you pretend to be cowardly. You lose touch from the power of your own courage. But just know that it's always there, available for you to tap into it, available for you to use it in all of your enterprises. You have always, always had courage. It's one of your powers that can never be taken away. And just like Dorothy, you have always been standing in your power to go home. All sickness is homesickness. What is home? Home is where that flower was before it met the butterfly. Grounded and centered in the source of all of your supply. So yes, it's the best day ever. And no, I won't change my mind, no matter what happens. If Timothy and I get ready to leave after the workshop this afternoon and the car is towed, it'll be a bit of a bummer. But I won't change my mind. We'll be walking to a subway to get to wherever we need to go to get that car, and I'll be going, it's the best day ever, bro. Who'd have thought on the best day ever the car would get towed? Who'd have thought it, dude? Who would have thought it? If we blow out a tire on the way back to Massachusetts, I'll be sitting beside the road waiting for AAA going, who'd have thought we would blow out a tire on the best day ever, dude? God is always up to something. And what God is up to is getting his, her, its son Carlos to remember to always own his power and to never give it away. God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear, and there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. And so it is. Peace!
Carlos Wayne Anderson, tell the truth. You have been informed. Say, I have been informed. I have the power to create my world. And I am blessed. That is the truth. Whew, let's take this opportunity to take these truths to a deeper place, to go within. Allow your body to just relax even more. Let the seat do its job of holding you up. And we are so blessed for all I have, all I am, all that God is. Let's know it together. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. For all that I have, I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed for all that I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. For all that I have, for all that I am, for all that God is, for all that God is me. I am all that God is. Wherever you go, there you are. And right now, you are right here in this moment where you have everything you need. And in this moment, allow yourself to go to that place of peace within, that place called home. Where you are rooted in the one power and the one presence in this vast entire universe, in that one source that you might call God or Spirit. In this place, you have everything you need. The sun comes up. The moon comes up. The light, the dark. Equal parts, equally important to the nourishment within you. Within you lies all that power, all the power you could ever need, the power to create your world, the power to know you are here to express as you, the beautiful, perfect being, beacon of light, child of God, flower, that is you. Whatever color flower you are is the right and perfect color to express as you. You are vibrant. You are whole. You are a complete. You are nourished from deep within. And allow yourself to simply be in this truth, in this place. I am God expressing as me. And I take this truth into the silence, into the stillness that is so powerfully necessary to remember the truth of who I am. I am God expressing as me in the quiet. How awesome to know I can live a life without limitation. That I have access to this unlimited power within me at all times. I now open myself to this infinite power that lies within. The full expression of God's power within me, expressing as me. Whoa. Wherever I am, God is. And as I remember this truth, as I nourish this truth from all the nutrients within me, I know that whatever's going on, I can simply declare it is the best day ever. It is the best day ever. No matter what, it is the best day ever. And for this truth, I am so grateful. And I express that gratitude simply by saying, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.